Today on Real Life Radio.
There is no such thing as the gospel without the word repent in it. The first word of the gospel is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A lot of people go around saying, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's a half truth. You've got to understand and know why you're turning away from your sin or the world and you're fleeing or running to Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. What kind of church we are depends on what kind of a Christian we are. That's a sobering thought when you think about it. You see, as we learned in chapter 1, the book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We saw how Jesus has many attributes, including the head of the church coming again for his people. And now in chapter 2, we find out that every church is in need of hearing and what every Christian is in need of knowing, that Jesus is exactly what the Word of God has revealed him to be. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when our Christianity is vibrant and healthy, there will be obvious signs of life. We'll be a church of good works, rooted in love and willing to attend to the needs of people. Our faith will have strong moral and spiritual convictions with a total reliance upon Christ as we patiently wait for his return. And now in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So just to give you a little bit about the geography and the reality of who these things are and who these people are, Thyatira is a little bit south and east of where we're going. Now, he says this to them. He addressed them regarding Thyatira and his very attributes. He says, I am the Son of God. Saying this, he brings a direct conflict to the gods that are worshipped in Thyatira. Why? I love how Jesus does this. Remember when the church of Smyrna was under attack for persecution and would give their life for their faith? Anybody remember that? Not so long ago? What did Jesus say to them by word of encouragement? I am the first and the last. He says, I'm the one who lived or died and lived, rose again. I'm the one. Why did he say that? Because they were going to suffer death. Remember that there's no greater word to say to somebody that Jesus could have said is I lived, I died, and now I'm resurrected. And church of Smyrna, you're going to go through this persecution, but don't worry, you're going to live again. He says something new to us regarding Thyatira. He says, I am the Son of God. That's a powerful thing. You want to know why? The church, according to history, lost sight of the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. Listen, the one and only mediator between heaven and earth, Christ Jesus. You see, well, what's so big about that? You just listen. Thyatira is an interesting place. They produce tremendous wool. In fact, they had a wool and a fuller's, you know, fuller like a tailor or not a laundromat, but you know, you would take your clothes to get cleaned there. And they had an incredible industry of dyeing fabrics. They had the first known union in the Roman Empire. It was a wool workers' union. Isn't that interesting? So much wool, so much fabric and precious materials were produced there. It made them extremely affluent. It wasn't a very beautiful town as goes the other cities that we've looked at, but they were very resourceful. And if you had clothing from Thyatira, that meant you wore very colorful clothing. They had very, very colorful clothing. Armani was based there. Gucci, no doubt. All these guys, you know, they had their stuff there. It was a place that you went into Europe. You went into Turkey today and you had wool from Thyatira. That was a big deal. That's like saying you have Italian shoes. I guess that's a big deal. I've got Costco shoes. And that's a big deal for me. But anyway, you know, the truth of the matter is that it was a real place and it had a real affluence and there was a church there. But some interesting things went on there that led to some very, very powerful indictments from Jesus Christ. When he says in his opening statement, I am the Son of God, and he says to them that I have these eyes of fire and these feet of brass, you've got to learn now to ask this question so you can practice next week. Why did Jesus say that? Why to this church did he say that? Well, here's the reason why. When he said that he was the Son of God is because it was taught and said in the city of Thyatira that there were other ways to God. And the church began, listen, to adopt those other avenues. God forbid, but could you imagine in the 21st century that you and I live in, somebody walking into a church and somebody behind the pulpit say, well, welcome all God's children. That sounds nice. It's not exactly accurate according to the Bible. Welcome all of God's children. No matter what you believe, we're all God's children. And all roads lead to heaven. And it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere in that belief. God will look upon your sincerity, and he will evaluate your level of sincerity. Never shall the word judge or judgment ever be used. Sin will never be mentioned. And there can never be a gospel message without the word repentance. Did you know that? Any of you in theology school going to seminary, are you? Mark this down. You'll either get an A or you'll get an F. Depends on your school that you're attending. There is no such thing as the gospel without the word repent in it. The first word of the gospel is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A lot of people go around saying, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's a half truth. You've got to understand and know why you're turning away from your sin or the world and you're fleeing or running to Jesus Christ. It's a very important thing. Be careful of the subtle things that are left out in a spiritual context because the church of Thyatira departed from the Bible that they had and they didn't preach the full counsel of God. And when you don't do that, you embrace all kinds of things of the world just to amass people, just to look good, just so that you don't cause any ruffles or waves. This is a dangerous thing. Jesus says, I'm the Son of God. So you ask that question, why did he say that? Because his very presence in the church was being challenged by the doctrine of what is called the belief system of Jezebel. We'll see it here in the scripture. He says, I've got the eyes that are holy and pure. My feet exercise judgment. He says, I'm walking in the midst of the church and I am the Son of God. And I see with perfect vision into the heart of every human being and every person in that church. I'm looking at you and I know exactly what's in your heart. And I know if your doctrine's true or not. And by the way, my feet are polished brass. That is, I am the one that stands in perfect judgment. And I will either reconcile your case before God and set you once again on firm ground, firm doctrine and truth, or you will be experiencing the judgment of my wrath and my holiness. This is the awesome resurrected Jesus Christ. And it's tremendous. When he says he has eyes of flame of fire, isn't it interesting? Guess what gods were worshipped there? You know his name, Apollo. Apollo was worshipped in Thyatira. And guess what? I'm just curious. Guess what kind of physical attribute it was said that Apollo had? Eyes of a flame of fire. Helios was worshipped there. What kind of feet did Helios, they say, have? Take a guess. That's right. That's why Jesus says to that church, you listen up. I am the Son of God. Nobody else. I've got the eyes, not them. I have the feet, not these pagan gods. Because, see, this worship had crept into the church. And Jesus says, let's set it straight. You belong to me, and you need to know the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a mirror dimly. But then, that is when Christ comes or we go to him, then we shall see him face to face. Church, do you ever think about that? Do you guys ever think about that? I tell you know what? See these glasses I'm wearing? I can't see a thing without these things anymore. It is really bad. In the last year, my vision has gone from fine to disastrous. And my doctor told me it better stop or else I'm not going to be able to see hardly at all soon. And I get a prescription and then I got to go back and get another one. And they're getting thick. Now it's fine, you know? But I tell you, when I get up in the morning, I look fine. I mean, I really do. I get up, I go in the bathroom, I turn on the light. I look fine to me. I take a shower, I get out of the shower. I look fine. I put on my clothes, I'm heading out of the house. Lisa says, "What are you doing?" "What do you mean, what am I doing?" "You're not going out there with your hair like that, are you? You're not going like that with those socks on." And you know, she was sleeping this morning when I left. You can always tell when she's awake. I come to church and people say, "Oh, that's a nice shirt you have on. Are those?" When I come, I just feel for what doesn't need ironing. You laugh. Ask the team that comes back from Germany. They'll go, what are you wearing? I didn't need to iron it, so I put it on. And so I put this thing on, you know. And then I realize I have black pants on, and my socks are so blue. Why? Because I look in the mirror. Look fine to me. Why? Because I can see dimly. But the Bible says when Christ comes or we go to him through death, we will see him face to face. We will know him as we are known. That is, as God knows you and I, we're going to know him. You ever say, "I'm going to ask God some questions when I get up there"? You will not. You will know it. You're going to know. He's going to give you the knowledge of what you need to know. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's going to be fantastic. Right now, we look through a glass dimly. That's why God gives the Bible, that we would look at the Bible and that we would worship God and obey God and love one another according to the Bible, not according to me, the church, or anything else. What does God say? That's what we do. And a Christian is someone who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, experiences God living his life out through us. And above all, Christian, can you not admit with me that above all, we Christians are the most shocked and surprised when anything awesome comes out of our lives because we know it's God doing the doing? It's like, man, where did that come from? Thank you, Lord, because that was not in me. You know, when somebody cuts you off on the freeway and you pull up alongside them and you go, "Praise the Lord, brother." That's the Lord. I know what I can do. But he sees everything. That's the meaning of his eyes. Secondly, we see in verse 19 that when our God is an actual reality in our life, as our Christianity is, it will be a healthy reality. If we have a God who is real, then we will have, as Christians, a healthy reality. Meaning this, he says, "I know your works," and he gives four wonderful things, and I'm going to go through them quickly. Number one, he says, "I know your love," and this is a great word. This is the word that you think it is. It's the word agape in Greek, the strongest, highest level of the Greek language of the word love. He says, "I know your love." The church at Thyatira had love. This kind of love, by the way, it means a deep, practical affection, an active love of benevolence, a love that does. It's a verb. You know, Christians are funny. Don't raise your hand, but if any of you are not a Christian in here, I want to say, on the behalf of all the other people in here who are Christians, I want you to know I understand how crazy you think Christians are. Because you know what? Let's be honest. How you doing? "Oh, I'm doing fine." I tell you, people at Calvary, the most huggy bunch of people, kind of drives you nuts sometimes, huh? You can always see somebody who's either not a Christian or new to Calvary. They're like this. Gee whiz, what's with these people? So that's your first problem. You know, it's weird. Second thing is, someone says, oh, I really love you. Well, what they're saying is that there's something going on inside their heart that only God has done. God's doing something. And when somebody turns and says, I love you and I'm going to pray for you, that's a God thing. Believe you me, we were not like that before we were Christians. We didn't go walking up to people, hey, buddy, love you, man. You get knocked out for talking to people like that. It's hard to explain. See, we get so caught up into Christianese that the non-believer thinks we're nuts. Praise the Lord. We need to be careful about that. We really do need to be careful. Oh, look, you know, there's a parking spot. Praise the Lord. Oh, look at this spaghetti. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, that's okay, I guess, if you really, really, really mean it. But if it's just the same. Oh, you know what? My dog died today. Oh, praise the Lord. You better watch out. Because we can get into Christianese. And the non-believer goes, you guys are absolute wackos. I don't want anything to do with you guys. The church at Thyatira, they acted their love out. They didn't talk about it. That's not what's implied here. They did it. And I think about that. They did it. Impartial. Benevolent. Driving down the street. A man with a turban. His car is broken down. Do you pull over? And in the name of Christ, do you help him? Do you give him, you know, you want to use my cell phone? Do you want some help? Oh, no, let's keep driving. He's got a turban on his head. Let's go. No, Jesus would pull over. The church at Thyatira would pull over. You see a woman, you know, changing her flat tire, and she's got her burqa on. She's wrapped in black. Can't even see her face. What do you do? Keep driving. Don't stop. Go, 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 go. Why? The church at Thyatira would stop. Well, I'm not an evangelist. He didn't ask you to evangelize. Love them. The church at Thyatira not only loved one another, loved those outside as well. If somebody says, you know what, it's obvious that I'm of this faith, this strange faith in America. I'm wrapped in this black gown. Why did you stop to help me? Who are you? What are you all about? You don't have to get into some Billy Graham crusade, start preaching to them, and, you know, the buses will wait. You come forward, just come across the street. Come. You don't have to do that. You just say, you know what? Look, it's no big deal. Jesus Christ loves me, died on the cross for my sins. Your car's broken down. I wanted to help you with your flat tire. And you asked me, so I'm telling you, he's the Lord of my life. He died on the cross for my sins and your sins. And my life has never been the same since I let him into my life. You have a very, very great day. And then drive away. I mean, after you fix their tire. Drive away. You can do that. The church at Thyatira did that. They had love. They had service. That's where we get the word deacons. They served one another. Faith. This word means that they had loyalty to the doctrines. They really loved the Bible. They had faith and they were acting upon it. They just let certain things creep in. Listen, everyone, this is where it's going to start getting a little hot in here. They had loyalty to the scripture. They were faithful to go to church. They wouldn't miss it. They were loyal to the scriptures. The only problem is they left out certain scriptures and, as we shall see, inserted others. They had faith. Jesus says, and I know your patience. This word patience, it's a great word. Hupomone. Doesn't that sound a little Italian? Like you'll have some pizza with some hupomone. You know? I love that word. Hupomone. It means that what they did in patience, they did for Jesus, hoping that he was returning soon. Okay, they're busy. It's like what Jesus says, I'm busy about my Father's business. You know that? That's what they were doing. They were busy about their Father's business and they were hoping for his soon return. Are you hoping for his soon return? Listen, there's a lot of people walking around in the name of Christianity saying, oh, he's not coming back for a long time. I consider those people either ignorant of the Bible or dangerous. They don't understand the scripture. The church at Thyatira was excited about his return. Paul the apostle was excited about the imminent return of Jesus Christ, as was John. Important. Are you excited about the imminent, that is the anytime now return of Christ? Church of Thyatira was. Isn't that amazing? So how could they have ever gone wrong? Well, listen. Second point, verses 20 to 23. What kind of a church are we when God examines our confession of faith? All these things that are true about us, as we are the church of Thyatira, if we were there back then 2,000 years ago, all these things are true, and Jesus commends us, then as he begins to examine our confession, what does he find? And I got to tell you, this petrifies me. Verse 20 teaches us that we must be diligent to teach the word of God, line by line, precept upon precept, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here's the reason why. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Have you ever had somebody tell you, you're such a great worker? You ever been called into the boss's office? I just want to tell you, you're a great worker. Have a seat. Look, whenever your boss tells you to have a seat, I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, you know? You get a little tense. Because if it's such great news, it ain't going to take long. Hey, come on in. How are you? Why don't you have a seat? You know what? Your love for this company is fantastic. It's quite an inspiration to many people around here. Just thought I'd let you know that. Your service. In fact, you know how a couple weeks ago you got the company service award? Fantastic. That's really great. Wish more employees were like you. And your faith, you know, in this corporation and what we make and what we stand behind. It's fantastic. And your patience. I know things are not always going well for you, but you hung in there with joy even. And you've been excited about how things might turn around. Nevertheless, and there you know, oh man, does any of that stuff he just said matter? Not a word. I guess Lisa tells me I'm a pessimist. I want the bad news up front. You know, don't butter me up like a turkey. Just cook me up front. Just let me have it. I want to hear the bad news first. Man, sit me down. Here Jesus commends them to give them hope, not to give them some false picture. Jesus gives them hope. And he says, oh, by the way, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. And with this, my friend, we need to be diligent to teach and to know the Word of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. Thanks for being with us today. What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
I'm always excited to get into the same room with my friend and my pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Hey, I have to know about our book of the month, and I want to hear it straight from you. Tell me about Turnaround at Home.
One word, personal.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is a book that Lisa and I wrote. It's very personal, and we're very happy to announce, by the way, that the Turnaround at Home book was the last book that Pastor Chuck Smith wrote an acknowledgement
for
the foreword.
Yeah.
He actually wrote the foreword, and so we're happy about that. But the book talks about marriage dynamics, difficulties, strengths, and how to change things that you think are going to destroy your marriage. How do you turn those things around to actually make them stronger points? So thus the book, Turnaround at Home.
And this is the book of the month for January, Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.